You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. There is a name that appears over and over in the archives of Italian cuisine, but little is known about the life of this legendary chef, Bartolomeo Scappi, who served the papacy and also authored one of the best-selling cookbooks of all time. Well, this is where author Crystal King comes into the picture. King did extensive research on Scappi and then decided to blend fact and fiction into a new novel, getting rave reviews. King is joining me live in studio to talk more about the book, The Chef's Secret. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So, first off, Crystal, who in the world was Bartolomeo Scappi?
He was a revolutionary chef. He lived in the Renaissance around roughly 1500 to 1573, and he was a chef to several different popes during this time frame.
And so how do you find out about him?
I actually found out about him when I was working on the research for my first novel, Feast of Sorrow, which is about an ancient Roman gourmand named Apicius. And when I was researching that, I kept coming across Bartolomeo Scappi's name in these compendiums of Italian cuisine. And I thought, this is really interesting. I'm going to look more into it. And so I picked up the cookbook. There's one English translation by a historian, Terence Scully, and it has over 1,000 recipes in it. And I thought, this is super interesting. And there's a little bit about his life in there, but very little information. And I thought, this is great. I can explore a little bit more about this. I can figure out who he works for. And since we don't know much about his actual life, I get to make all that up.
Okay, so that's part of it then, is because there's not a lot known about him, you can kind of start blending that idea of fact and fiction.
Correct, yes.
So tell me how you do that.
So it's a lot of research.
Okay.
Fortunately, I love to do the research. I get to go to Italy.
Not a bad thing.
That works out for my in my favor. But I actually spend a good deal of time looking at what happens in the world in that period. So I research everything about the families, the princely families of Italy. I research what's happening in science and in arts and in the food world and everything I can just about what's going on in the life of a person who would be living in that time frame. And then I look at who he worked for and who the people that he mentions in the book. For example, we know that he had a sister named Caterina. We know that his apprentice was his nephew named Giovanni. And so from there, I take those little bits of history and I figure out what's missing and I fill in all the dots.
So that's where the fiction part comes in.
Exactly.
So then tell me about the book itself, the premise of the book.
So since we don't know a lot about Scappi, I really thought, well, in his will, for example, his real life will, he didn't leave any information about money that would go to a spouse or to a wife, and he doesn't mention any children. And I thought, well, maybe he was in love. He must have been in love. And from there, the whole idea spun out. What if he was in love with somebody he shouldn't have been in love with? And so the book, it starts out actually where Scappi has died. And this is, you find this out within the first paragraph.
So you're not giving any spoilers away.
But he has left a series of letters and journals in a strong box, a locked strong box that he gives to his nephew, Giovanni. And so Giovanni opens this strong box and discovers that there was a woman in his uncle's life, a noble woman of some sort. And it was a 50-year love affair. And so you get the story of this 50-year love affair through Scappi's eyes, but you also have Giovanni uncovering all of the secrets of his uncle's life.
Because when we go back to the Renaissance time, social hierarchy plays a part.
Exactly.
So if she is of noble lineage, she can't be with a chef.
Right. That would not be something that could happen. So it definitely had to happen in secret. And I thought, what would that have looked like? How would that have occurred?
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of great fun trying to figure that out.
I'm speaking with Crystal King. She's the author of the new novel, The Chef's Secret. Okay, so then let's talk about the food angle, because that's also one of your passions. So you blend food into this as well.
Yes. The cookbook itself is wonderful because there's 1,000 recipes that are very familiar to us in a lot of ways. You start to see the first pasta recipes. There's tortellini recipes. There's a million, maybe not a million, maybe about 10 different pie recipes. Mm-hmm. There's a pumpkin pie, for example. And the foods from the New World were starting to make their way over to Italy in this time frame. So you start to see the first turkey recipes. And there's actually a recipe for fried chicken in there.
Really?
So it's not a Southern thing. It's made pretty much identically. You have to dredge the chicken in flour and you fry it up. But it's made in a brine of spices. And spices were a very important thing in this time frame because the more money you had, the more spices mm-hmm. you used and the more sugar you used. Of the 1,000 recipes in the cookbook, 900 of them have sugar in them. And I think it was 600 has cinnamon in them. So the fried chicken has cinnamon, coriander, cloves, nutmeg, and it's brined in vinegar with those spices. It's weird.
But you use all the spices because you can.
Yes, because you have the money to afford that.
Right.
Yes.
And so then with Scoppi having literally had one of the best-selling cookbooks ever.
Yeah, for 200 years after it was published in 1570.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was known throughout the land as somebody who made incredible meals. And he also left us some really interesting history in that we now understand what it was like to bring food into the Sistine Chapel when they were electing a new pope, how they did that and kept the food from, you couldn't put notes in the food, for example.
Right.
So they had to keep things very secret and made sure that all the food was inspected very carefully so that when it went into the Sistine Chapel, it wasn't tarnished and there weren't bribes in there on who was going to be the chef. And he left us all these woodcuts in the cookbook that allow us to see what that would have looked like.
This is fascinating. So with the book itself, then, how do people find out, about the cookbook? Do you put recipes in the book? How does all that work?
So I actually worked with a few historians and chefs and food bloggers to actually recreate some of these recipes. And then my husband and I have recreated a whole bunch of them as well. If you go to my website, crystalking.com, there's a link for historical recipes, and you can get the cookbook for both The Chef's Secret and for mm-hmm. my first novel, Feast of Sorrow, which is all ancient Roman food. So those were super fun. And that's some of my favorite thing about doing this kind of work is that I get to work with these chefs.
That is really neat. So you will be at Rediscovered Books in downtown Boise tonight, where you will be signing your new book.
Correct. I'll be talking more about Italian Renaissance food history and happy to sign books.
Well, and you get to go to Italy. So look at that. I want to thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
My guest today, Crystal King. She's the author of the new book, The Chef's Secret. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And I want to thank all of you for being a part of Idaho Matters today. I really always do appreciate you taking time out of your day to be a part of this. My producers are Samantha Wright and Richard Copeland. Our associate producer is Hannah Kardosky. I'm Gemma Gaudette. It's Thursday. Hope you enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.